short phrases. Let me just read them for you. Come unto me, Jesus says. Another time he says, learn of me. And one more, follow me. I'm just going to talk about that last one this morning. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Mark chapter 2 and verse 14. Mark 2 and verse 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, which is another name for Matthew. He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. And he said unto him, follow me. And he rose and he followed him. Now, I don't know about you, and I've talked to several of you, and there's this glaze over many of us. It's like, wow, it's been a busy Christmas holiday. But applied to the spiritual world, we get overwhelmed by the mindset of the expectations of what we think are required of us to live the Christian life. With all the busyness of our lives, what naturally happens is we dry up. We spiritually run out of petrol. And it happens to everybody. There's not a person in this room who just keeps on going and keeps on going without sinking like Peter did in the water. Hard about it is that when we run out of petrol, there's still more to do. There's still more distance to go. Spiritually, there are more people to try and reach. And we find out that we've got nothing left to run on. It is scary. I don't know if you've ever been driving and you haven't noticed and haven't paid attention to your petrol meter there and telling you how much you have. And all of a sudden, the car begins to shake and jostle. And just by chance, you look over there and you see the meter way below the E. And there's that sinking feeling of, I'm not going any further at all. And folks, it's a scary thing to me to run out of that spiritual petrol. I've been saved 26 years now, and I know the difference between running on empty and running when I'm full. I know what it means to drive with a full tank of high-octane fuel, spiritually speaking. And it is a scary thing. John, can you close that door? It's a scary thing to run out of that fuel. And a lot of people, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm glad I know my Bible. A lot of people might be confused and think they lost Jesus or they lost their salvation. That's not true. No, you just ran out of petrol. You just dried up. And how do you get that zing, that thrill, that fuel back? How do you get full of the Holy Spirit? And I want to say, we forget what our job is as Christians. Now we talk about, well, I was created to worship the Lord. And that's true, but let me say, our challenge as believers is tough. It is tough because we think, well, I got to go to church more. I've got to read my Bible more. I've got to pray more. And that may be good, and that may actually help you. Yes, that's not wrong at all. But when you see those things that you do as the answer to your need, then you're missing the point. And I want to go back. I gave you those three phrases: come unto me, learn of me. But the one phrase that ought to just really this morning, actually, you need to just sort of hold on to like a rope over a river, is follow me. You see, there is this dark age that we live in needs us to be living for God. Some folks need some light. Now, they don't need perfection, as Eileen was saying. The world looks at some things, and especially when the world looks at us, they expect, oh, so you think you're Christian? You Christians think you're perfect now. And as soon as you mess up, and as soon as you fall, they go, they're no different than I am. And we've got to make sure that they see that we're not trying to live the perfect life. You know how they get that idea that we're trying to live that perfect life? Because we're convinced that we're trying to live that perfect life. I want you to realize we burn out. There's a lot for us to do, and it is a time to be busy. I was talking to Mona, and she said, you know, this holiday has been a busy holiday. And when we sort of take off time from work, it seems that we work harder. And in this day and age, spiritually speaking, it is a time to work harder. But you will not be able to be busy for the Lord unless we first do something that enables us to be busy for the Lord. I'm trying to build up to this thought so that you really, really go, I got it. Just what is it that we all have to be doing every moment of every day? It is more important than anything. It actually comes before loving God. The greatest commandment is to love God, correct? But did you know, what I'm going to point out this morning and this concept has to take place before you can really be passionately, consistently in love with God. It is the most important thing that you can do. It is simply, according to Mark 2, verse 14, following Jesus. Go to John, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse 1. John, chapter 10, and verse 1. Listen to these words. John, chapter 10, and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. If somebody's coming in through the window into the sheepfold, into the barn, into the place where the sheep are kept, if they're coming in through the window, not through the door, there's only one reason why they're doing that. They're going to steal some sheep. And when you don't go through Jesus, you've missed the boat. Look at verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, underline these words, hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep, and underline these words, leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, when he lets them out, as soon as he has let them all go, guess what he does? He rushes to get in ahead of them, to get in front of them. He goeth before them, and the sheep, next two words, verse 4, follow him, for they know his voice. Oh, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Run down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus? Well, several words come to mind. It's like an apprenticeship. It's learning what this person who has mastered an art or mastered a craft, learning what they do so that you can do it the same way. And it takes years. You just don't look at it and go, all right, I got it. It takes years of watching and learning. When Jesus says, follow me, he's saying this. He's saying, watch me. Just watch. Don't try to do it yet. Just watch me. Do what I do exactly. Listen to what I say so you can be my disciples. Following is more than imitating or just copying. How many of you have ever seen a mime? I think I've only seen a mime on the streets of Cork once, but they're hilarious. You ever seen these guys? They got the white face and, you know, they move around and they mimic. And they can copy and perfectly imitate something or somebody. But that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He doesn't want us to imitate him. He wants us to learn his way of doing things. Literally, when he says to follow, he means to get on the same road as Jesus. Many of our highways now are divided. Aren't you glad for dual carriageways? But Jesus doesn't want us to be going on parallel roads with him. He wants us on the very same pavement as he is walking. When he says, follow me, he says, get on the very same road I'm on. to follow means that you are not ahead of Him. How many of you know you've gotten ahead of God in some decisions? You've done some things, you went, oops, I didn't pray about it. To follow Him means you're behind Him. Amen?
Oh, I want to be up with Jesus.
Well, I know that's a nice thing to want, but when He says follow, He says pull back a little bit. Let Him lead. Amen? Third, to follow means to literally stay and to stay and to stay on the same road, no matter what happens. He didn't say, follow me today and then tomorrow, follow your boss, and the next day follow your wife, and the next day follow your mother-in-law. No matter what comes at you and tries to throw you off course. All of it sounds so easy and straightforward. Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm already following Jesus. Did you know all of our problems are related to those three steps? Are we on the same road as Jesus? Every one of our problems in life, are we on the same road? Are we letting Him lead our lives, or are we letting somebody else lead us? And then, are we committed to staying following the Lord Jesus? Too many Christians get excited about the benefits of the Christian life, and they get into it, and then when they hit the bumpy road, they want to pull over. Change roads. Our children learn from us by watching us, don't they? Especially our bad habits. You heard about the pastor being invited over for dinner. And this young couple invites their pastor over for Sunday dinner, and while they're in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister leans down to the boy, their son, and said, what are we having today for dinner? The little boy replies, goat. Goat, replied the startled man of God. Are you sure about that? Yep, said the youngster. I heard Paul say to Mom, might as well have the old goat for dinner today as any other day. Now don't you do that. But don't our kids pick up on what we do and how we act? They pick up all our bad habits. But they watch us. Whether you realize it or not, our children naturally learn by following us. They watch. They try to be like us. And it's scary, and at the same time, it's very wonderful. Jesus says these two powerful words, follow me, at three different times in our life. First, at our salvation. There in Mark 2, when he saw Levi, he calls Levi and says, I want you to follow me. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the Christian life. Somebody says, what is the Christian life? Following Jesus. And it begins when you don't hear the preacher calling, when you don't hear your husband calling, when you don't hear your kids calling, pleading, saying, would you please get saved? When you finally hear Jesus saying, I want you to follow me. That's the beginning of salvation. If I come and I sit down and I says, are you saved, Johan? And Johan says, I don't know what it means. And if I take him through the Bible and I say, will you get saved? If he's trusting my voice, if he's listening to my words, and he believes what I say, then he's not saved. Now, I'm being very careful. Now, watch me. But if, as I'm talking to him and I get him into the Bible, if he senses God became a man and died at hands like mine for my sins, it was for me. And then as I speak, he doesn't hear my voice anymore, but he hears the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, I love you, and I want you to be with me. I want to save your soul. Will you let me in? Then is when he can get saved. Does that make sense? So persuasion is to get somebody to finally tune to the right frequency to hear Jesus' voice. So, Jesus says those words, follow me at salvation. He also says that we read there in John chapter 10, it follows. He actually asks us that same request every day of following. It's not a once-off event. Jesus said in John 10:27, you read it there, look down there again, my sheep constantly hear my voice and they constantly follow me. It is a continuous following. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 26. John 12 and 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He's talking about a day-to-day active life. Look at John chapter 13 in verse 36. 13 in verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, hey, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You see, the Lord doesn't just say, follow me on Sundays, follow me for a little while, follow me until something else takes your attention, and believe me, the devil will divert your attention. He says, continually follow me. Look in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus has already risen from, from the dead. In verse 15, I want you to see something. So when they had dined, Jesus is now encouraging his disciples. They have gone through one of the most tragic times that imaginable, watching Jesus die, when they thought he was going to rule, and then hearing that he was risen from the dead, and so Jesus is trying to encourage them, he is alive. And so he sits down and he has dinner with them. He begins to talk, and he says in verse 15, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now I got a question for you. How many times did Peter deny the Lord Jesus? Deny even knowing him. How many? How many times does the Lord Jesus ask him now, Do you love me? Three. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Oh, however grieving it may be for somebody to ask you the same question over and over, think about how grieving it is for the Lord when we sin over and over. It grieved Peter because the Lord said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Okay, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, you put on your own clothes, you walkest whither thou wouldest, you went wherever you wanted, but when thou shalt be old, from this moment on, things will be different. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another will gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. It's going to take you to places you wouldn't normally go, and that was to prison and going to be in trouble. Then this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, what were the two words? Follow me. Now, what were the first two words that he used to call Peter? Follow me. What are the last words that he gives as instruction to Peter? Keep following me. Just follow me. Now, you know what follows. He turns to John and says, well, what about John? Because he just heard that he's going to go through some rough times. His life wasn't going to be so rosy. His life was going to be full of some struggles. And he says, well, what's going to happen to him? I want some comparison. I want to know he's going to hurt too. And Jesus says, look down there in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come. To do nothing but just to sit around and wait till I come. What is that to thee? Peter, follow me. Keep your eyes on me. You see, the fourth rule of following Jesus, first one is be on the same pavement as Him. Be walking on the same road. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. All right? He doesn't just teach truth. He is truth. Amen? He's not a way to God. He is the only way to God. So if I'm going to be following Jesus, I've got to be on that same path as Him. Secondly, I need to be behind Him, letting Him lead. Third, I need to stay with Him, following. And then the fourth thing is, always only looking to Him. Always only looking at Him. Because so-and-so, they may stop following the Lord. So-and-so may get, closer. So-and-so may come between. Anything can happen. But if my eyes, if I'm following Jesus, I'm following only Jesus. Amen. There's a cost, though. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, if any one of you are going to follow me, what are you going to have to do? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, then you can follow me. Look at verse 25. He actually describes what he's speaking about. He says, whosoever will save his life, hold on to his life, protect his life, what are you going to do? You'll lose it. And whosoever, however, look at the opposite, will lose his life for my sake, that's when you're going to find life. For what is a man profit if he shall gain this whole world and yet lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at what he says. He says, if you're going to follow me, I need you to deny yourself. What is he saying? I need you to lose yourself. What does that mean? You ever been driving down the road and you hear a ka-thunk? And you look out the mirror and there's this piece of metal that's falling off your car. All right. You know, on the roads of life, sometimes those shaky roads, I'll just use a real crude illustration. The bumpy back roads of Ireland, you hit a couple of potholes and you leave something in it. In life, that may be just what God wanted. Leave it behind. If God can shake it out of you, maybe it needed to drop. The things that are important don't fall away. Now this is a great truth. I'm not going to go very far. This is only part one. We're going to be finishing you'll be surprised, just a few minutes. But deny yourself. Don't think that everything you think you're losing by going forward for God is worth holding on to. What might it cost you if you get saved? Think about that for a second. What might it cost you if you really make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Oh, it'll probably cost you a few friends. It'll probably cost you some sleep in the mornings where you should be reading your Bible instead of getting to know your pillow a little better, kissing your pillow. It might cost you a job where your boss asks you to lie and asks you to do things and to sell things that a Christian shouldn't sell. Okay, good. It might cost you your job. But if you follow the Lord Jesus, hello, you only win. Whatever things that you're having to deny and say, I may have to lose this, he'll make up. I mean, who would want to hold on to this world if you had it all and lose his own soul? Who would want to? The only reason why people do this is because they don't know how valuable eternal life is. God made you to live forever. That carcass of flesh goes into the grave, and that's not you at all. It's a shell. Amen? What you need is something that is eternal inside of you, being made invaluable. And the only way you're going to see that is when you see Jesus say, let your life, which you so treasure, let it go. The second part, he says, take up your cross. What's the cross? It's an instrument of death. But it's the instrument of Christ's death, not your death. What is he asking you to do? Stand with Christ. Jesus didn't put himself on the cross. People put him on the cross. Amen? And if people begin to mock you and attack you just because you're giving the gospel out, just because you're trying to tell them about the Lord Jesus, that's your cross. I know a lot of people figure, well, my cross is my mother. My cross is my boss. That is not your cross. Those things are normal parts of life. Your cross is to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ like Peter didn't. Amen? Though all men deny you, I will not deny you, Peter said. Remember that? And Jesus looks at him and says, before this night's over, you're going to deny knowing me three times, Peter. Oh, I'll die for you. You will not. You know what Peter didn't do? He didn't take up his cross. When Jesus went onto that cross, what did Peter do? I will not be with that man. He's a loser! Amen? He should be reigning, and I would love to be standing by him as king, and then a helper and ruler alongside of him. And Jesus says, no, you don't win that way. You win by dying. You win by taking up your cross, and whatever it is that the world throws at you, you say, I'm standing with the Lord Jesus. Peter did not follow the Lord through that time. As a matter of fact, what does it say there in John? It says, he followed afar off. Remember those words? Oh, he wanted to see what was going to happen, but he let Jesus go way ahead, and as long as he wasn't seen with the Lord, he felt safer. That was where he missed what it meant to be really Christian. Look at chapter 19 and verse 21. Matthew 19 and verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Now you know in the Bible, the word perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It means just right. It means finished. If you want to let God finish His work in you and make it right in your life, look what He says, 19 and verse 21. If thou wilt be perfect, if you want to finally grow up, I lost my place there. Go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Now, what was blocking him from following the Lord Jesus? He's speaking to a rich young man. A young man who has inherited an absolute fortune. He didn't earn it. He inherited it. And that money was doing what to him? Think now. I know you're barely out of first gear. Come on. It was blocking his ability to come down out of his chariot, put on some sandals, and follow Jesus. Jesus said, get rid of whatever is blocking you from following me. He didn't say, hey, rich young ruler, come down here and follow me. We could use your money. Did he say that? No. He says, get rid of your money. Now, most of us, we're not like the guy. We got nothing to get rid of. But that doesn't mean we don't have something big in our life that is blocking us from following him. There is a cost. And when the Lord calls us to follow him, he does it when he's trying to get us saved. He does it constantly throughout our days, but he does it at a price. He says, you're going to have to look and see what is stopping you from following me. He gives another illustration and he says, if your hand, if your right hand is offending you, what does that mean? Upsetting you so much that you can't follow me. If your right hand, now there's the point, if your right hand is stuck in something that it shouldn't be involved in and you can't let go of it, cut off your hand. Jesus, that clear, so that you can follow me. Because it's a whole lot better to enter into eternal life without a hand than to go to hell with both hands. Amen? And if your eyes are stuck into pornography and into adultery and into this world, and you just can't let go of what possessions you've got to have and what jealousy is just constantly burning inside of you, what envy you have, and the covetousness that just binds most people, and you live just from day to day, never satisfied, if your eyes are stopping you from looking at the all-sufficiency and the perfection of Jesus Christ, pluck them out. Because it's better to go to heaven through this life blind than to go to hell with perfect eyesight. You see what he's saying? Whatever is blocking you from simply getting out of our comfort zone, simply from getting all out of our bitterness and out of our problems, and just following him, whatever is blocking you, get rid of it. Now, next week, I'm going to show you how to do that. But this week, I want to whet your appetite for, in 2007, I want to learn to just, wherever Jesus is, in my life, I want to be right behind him. I want to be on the same road. I want to be behind him, letting him lead. I want to know how he communicates to me. I want to know how to know he's ahead of me, not behind me. Sometimes I lose sight of him. I want to know how to get back in line when I fall away and when I'm diverted by satanic diversion. And then I want to always keep my eyes on him. That great verse that says, looking unto Jesus. You know, listen to these words. The author and the finisher of our faith. You know what that means? He's the fashioner of our faith. He's the worker on our faith. He's the only one that starts that work, and He's the only one that can finish it. And when you get your eyes off the Lord, our faith stops growing. I think I have just a couple more things and we're finished. This thing of following the Lord Jesus is the most important, most fundamental thing about Christianity. It is what makes or breaks Christians. Either you are following Jesus or you are following the world. Either you're listening to God's Word or you're listening to your own feelings. Follow your heart. Wrong thing to follow. Either you are seeing God work and are encouraged, or you are seeing only problems and are very discouraged. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and let's close with this thought. Hebrews chapter 12. There is nothing more encouraging than just taking a good look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore seeing, Hebrews 12:1, we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, like a crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, get rid of it, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. John, what's your favorite thing to eat? I know food. But what's your favorite, most aromatically invigorating thing to smell and to eat? Chili con carne. All right. So who makes the best chili con carne that you've ever tasted? You better say your mom, right? You? All right. Well, John, the devil knows what you like the most. The devil knows what you give into the easiest. Somebody cursed us with a huge box, a huge tin of celebrations. And those things are a curse. Because one day they're full. The next day, a third of them are gone. And three of my kids are gone up to Dublin. So it's not three of them eating it. There's only four of us left, amen, and I wasn't eating them. So, anyway, wasn't my wife either, don't worry, she's over there sweating, they're thinking I did. My point is, the devil knows what to put right in front of you, and he says, lay aside the things especially the sin that so easily, what's the word? This is the Bible word, beset us. Beset is the opposite of follow. If I am on this track, and how many of you have ever seen these Olympic racers who race? There are these kind of races that when they race, they have to run within a narrow band of lines that are along that track. Some of the races, they actually, once they start, they can move in front of each other and so on. But some of the races, they have to stay within their line. Once they cross that line, it's like swimming. They have to stay in those bubbles, you know, those bobbles that are floating there. And if they ever even touch those things, they're disqualified. And as a Christian, as I'm running this race here, I'm looking unto Jesus, and I'm following Him, and I smell chili con carne. Or somebody holds out a big tin of carnations. Whoa! Hold up here. Now, that's how quick we fall. That's how easy we fall. And the things that so easily beset us. Let's watch it. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, what did He endure? Now I want you to put yourself in those shoes. We're being asked to run that race, amen? We're being asked to endure some things. Look at what it says, despising the shame. We're being asked to do the same. But look at His finish. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to finish, folks. Sometimes you walk. Sometimes you crawl. Sometimes you run. But I want to make sure that 2007, our eyes on Lord Jesus. And that those two words in 2007 just ring, Lord, help me to keep following You. Keep my eyes on You. Teach me how my life can stay on track. Because You mean for me to be perfected. Amen? God did not mean to start you and drop you. God did not mean for you to start and to crash. He means to perfect you. But it happens when we look unto Jesus. So we're going to do that. Looking next week. Father, please bless as we come to this, the end of this opening thought. Most importantly, Lord, whether we're saved or lost, usually there's something blocking us. Maybe it's fear. What would it cost us? I remember thinking what my friends would think if I humbled myself. And it is humiliating, Lord. And it has to be humiliating. I remember, what would people think? They'll make fun of me. Oh, they'll laugh at me. Oh, they'll think, oh yeah, finally she's humbling herself. Finally he's admitting he's a sinner. You know what? There's not a person in this room who wouldn't shout in excitement over just one sinner, one person crying out to God and saying, I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I have let everything stop me from Jesus loving me. And from this moment on, I am following Him. It wouldn't just be us shouting, it would be all of heaven. And Christian, you know, there's a lot of shouting in heaven when a Christian puts off things, lays aside things that are holding them back. And the Lord right now needs to be allowed to just reveal what those things are that are holding us back. What are they? There's usually more than one. But if you start moving one of them, it's like a wall. If you just undo one of those bricks that are lodged in, the rest of them start falling too. Would you grab at something and say, Lord, this has been between You and me for a long time. This has stopped me from being close to You. I've been afraid. I've been embarrassed. I've been ashamed. Okay. Why don't you be close now? He said to Peter, after the most awful thing that Peter could have done, of denying even knowing Him and cursing and blaspheming God to make sure everybody thought that he wasn't a Christian. After that, all Jesus asks is, do you love me? If you do, come on, let's get back to following again. Oh, let every Christian realize God so loves us. Do we really love Him? And if we do, then we'll follow Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand. Let's all stand. If you're not saved this morning, I challenge you, please talk to me. We'll sit down, we'll take the time, settle your eternity. I can't save you, nobody in this room can. Nobody looking around, every head bowed, please. If you're not saved, today's a day of salvation. God's been very good to all of us, giving us another day, another year. But that's no guarantee of tomorrow. Where will you be? You say, but so-and-so needs this, but I'm not that bad. Or maybe you might be saying, I'm too bad. I'm too far gone. Let me tell you. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Will you let Him save you? Christian, if He saved you, why aren't you following Him? Why doesn't it show? Why isn't it clear in your life that your kind of Christianity is not perfection? It's a life of following the Lord Jesus. It's a life where you live like He would if He were in your shoes. You're learning from the Master. Father, just bless Your people. Make a decision. May they make a decision. A choice today to follow You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal. Open your hymnal, please. To hymn number 397. 397.